Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the second episode of The Real for 2020. I am your host, David Auth, as usual, joined by
Clay Manley
and Jared DeLauder.
Just say your name, please. Thank you.
And Dylan Graffius.
Dylan is joining us for the second time.
Yes.
Julian got caught up at the gym doing something. I don't know. His sense of time isn't the best. And we actually started this late, so blame that on him. Today's a pretty normal episode. Gonna go through some news, which wasn't too much of recently, but we'll go through it anyways. Then we got some discussions and a little bit of movie reviews to discuss with you guys. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get real. What do we think of that as a new, like a stable intro song? Keep it?
It's interesting.
I'm kind of a fan of switching it up, so.
I'm Clay.
All right, well, if you help me find intro and outro songs every episode, then we can definitely keep switching it up.
I think it gets the people going, man. I think that's what they want to hear.
They want to hear new and exciting songs every single week.
That's what they keep coming back for.
Honestly, that's why we got all the viewers and all the listeners.
Yeah, all three of them. Julian's here. Our first bit of news this week, this was actually within the last 2 days, Priyanka Chopra Jonas, Nick Jonas's wife, they had that big fancy wedding recently, is likely going to join The Matrix 4, which will begin production very, very soon. We're still waiting on an actual official announcement. They've begun, but apparently they've been doing fight training. That's from Variety, so they're already starting to work on The Matrix 4. Big, new, exciting movie. Hugo Weaving, unfortunately, not returning, and the release date for it is set right now as May 21st, 2021, which is the same day as John Wick Chapter 4, which is kind of a big deal because it's the battle of the Keanu Reeves movies, and I guess we'll see.
I'm very excited for John Wick 4. I was not a fan of Matrix 2 and 3, so 4 seems extremely unnecessary to me, but
yeah, I mean, I think at this day and age, it's been how long since Matrix 3?
17 years.
A while.
Yeah,
so at this point, hopefully they have an original enough like storyline that, you know, this movie isn't just a money grab. I mean, it probably is at this point, but like, you think it's been 17 years since the last one. That's more than enough time to come up with a good storyline. And
that's the news with Hugo Weaving, obviously playing Agent Smith, not coming back. Like,
yeah.
It sounded like they wanted him back, and it was scheduling conflicts.
Mm.
I really don't know why he should come back. Like, obviously he's not, but I would like something new, something fresh.
Yeah, I feel you. Next bit of news, this is just because I've been seeing Disney remake discussion, like, 24/7, as it has been for the last, like, 4 or 5 years now. The two remakes with, like, release dates right now are Mulan, which is March of 2020, and apparently a Cruella de Vil movie, which is May of 2021. Some other ones that are on the docket but do not have actual official dates yet or even years. Prince Charming movie, Hunchback of Notre Dame, Sword in the Stone, James and the Giant Peach, Oliver Twist, apparently a Peter Pan movie, and Lilo and Stitch, Bambi, Pinocchio, and The Little Mermaid. I thought they were farther along on The Little Mermaid, so they'd be able to have a date for that, but I guess I was wrong.
I'm a little concerned about the live-action Lilo and Stitch. I don't know what that's going
to
look like.
Yeah. That has potential to be either, like, really, really good or really, really bad, so I'm not going to say either right now.
I'm picturing, like, the original Sonic from the live-action.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But with the worst voice.
But they did bully the theater into, you know, switching Sonic to make him more appealing.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
How do you do that? How do you just change it on a dime like that?
All the CGI artists and, you know, whatever they're called, working overtime, basically not getting paid to basically change every single shot that he's in.
Can you imagine getting bullied into doing that? Like, yeah. That second?
I feel bad for them, but they should not have chosen that Sonic design in the first place. So
absolutely, yeah. With the Disney remakes, I mean, is there any film that you guys would want to see remade?
Really, the only one at this point I think that would be like phenomenal, especially in live action, are Treasure Planet and Atlantis. I think those two, more than any other, would look like super, super good. Pretty much all the movies that I just listed, maybe except for James and the Giant Peach and Hunchback, like, I don't really care to see. Like, it's going to be the same story more or less. And I think the movies are better as like animated features instead of live action. I think the live action might degrade kind of like what was enjoyable about these films in the first place.
Well, with Mulan, they're not even having Mushu in it.
Yeah, they with Mulan, they changed it up enough where I think, I mean, I'm not going to say now, but I think it could actually be good because of how different they're going. And they're making it a lot more realistic outside of just making a live action. And that's what some of these remakes have been, where it's the exact same movie, but instead of animated characters, they're there in real life.
Well, I enjoyed Hook, which was already kind of set in the Peter Pan universe. Obviously, Robin Williams no longer with us, but
R.I.P. in peace.
Yeah, I think Peter Pan could be interesting.
I would be interested in seeing a Hercules film. I think, personally, Hercules is probably my favorite Disney film, but we kind of had that age at the turn of the decade in the 2010s where we had Clash of the Titans, and even in the late 2000s we had all this stuff on Greek mythology, and we haven't really seen a lot of it. Not that it necessarily needs to be there, but with the improvements in technology and with a story like Hercules, not to say that the Disney version is accurate to the actual myths themselves, but yeah. I think they could do a really good job with the effects. I would be interested to see that.
I think Clash of the Titans and Wrath of the Titans, which I don't know which one came first, but it's set in the same universe with the same characters.
Mm-hmm.
That was at a time when I think the special effects were actually really, really good for those movies.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd probably be better now because that's how, you know, technology in Hollywood works and everything, but I think for the time they're actually pretty good. I do agree with you. I think Hercules would greatly benefit from, you know, what they'd be able to do today, but I think they again would have to switch up the storyline and
make it
a little bit different, so it's not just the same exact.
Yeah, they'd have to do what they did what they're doing with Mulan and make it a little bit more realistic. Now, I'd love to see Danny DeVito still play Philoctetes in the live action version, but
he'd probably be down.
Yeah.
Moving on now, trailer for Fast and the Furious 9 will be dropping this Friday. Poster was released by Vin Diesel the other day. Does anyone care to talk about?
I was just gonna ask that.
Fast and the Furious.
I was gonna say, shouldn't it have died like two movies ago?
Yep.
I've seen the first few, and then like, they just keep getting like more and more out there and more unnecessary. John Cena's in this one.
It's dead. It's done. Kill it now. Kill it now.
I thought it was kind of out there when they added The Rock, but The Rock's been in these movies for two or three now.
I think he's done a great job in them, personally.
Yeah.
I think he does a great job. And I think having Jason Statham in there too, you know, you'd think with Vin Diesel, you'd have too many bald, rippling muscle tough guys, but you know what? It works somehow, but they've definitely gone over the top with all this. I mean, nine films that they had cars dropping from planes, and one of the most recent ones like this.
Yeah.
This is just getting over the top at this point.
And there's really only so much you can do, you know, like, oh, we're gonna steal cars, we're gonna like start working for the government, and then in Hobbs and Shaw, the bad guy is like a supervillain, like he has like powers or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't really like know the direction they're moving in with these movies, but it just seems kind of far-fetched. And I don't know.
Go to space, man. That's the new frontier for Vin Diesel.
Cars in space.
Is there any other running franchise that has gone up in the numbers as much? Like, what's the closest numbered film
other than Star Wars, Harry Potter,
Land Before Time?
How many Land Before Times are there?
There are quite a few.
Are they numbered 1, 2, 3, 4? I think they have different titles.
Do they?
I believe so.
I guess you could count Friday the 13th. They're not like... But up to a certain point, they stop using numbers.
Yeah.
But I believe there was 10. So, 10 not including the most recent one that came out, like the remake or whatever.
I just think it's bizarre they're still counting. Usually at a certain point, they just do a reboot and start clean or have some different name to like bring back viewers. Yeah. But
I don't know.
I guess it's still bringing people to the theater.
We can move on now. Oh,
well, it says on Fandango, Carry On has 31 films from, now I don't think it's Carry On 1, Carry On 2, Carry On 3. Godzilla has 30 films about him. James Bond has 23 films, 25 you count to non-canon entries. And then Star Trek 12, Friday the 13th 12, Marvel Cinematic Universe. It says 11. I feel it. Aren't there?
No, it's definitely.
I think this is out of date.
Yeah, but I think with all of those, they're not set in the same universe, not on the same timeline. At least with Fast and the Furious, it's like same characters, same murder, same timeline. Like, we can move on. I don't really want to talk about Fast and the Furious anymore because I just don't really enjoy those movies. Next bit of news is a new report suggests that there are two Transformers films in development. They may be based on Beast Wars and the Bumblebee universe, which was the most recent Transformers movie. John Cena was in the Bumblebee movie as well. apparently that movie was actually better than people were expecting. I'm not sure of its Rotten Tomato scores, but I feel like this is another movie franchise where they could have waited a little bit longer to jump back into making them. But I guess we'll see how this turns out. It kind of sounds like there's going to be two separate Transformer universes moving forward. But I don't know. I mean, those first like two, three Transformers movies were good, but they just kept, you know, piling on and adding Mark Wahlberg. And here we are.
When I was like 13 and they had that first movie with Megan Fox,
that movie was
sick. All I'm saying, all
right, the special effects in like those first ones were actually really, really good.
I remember highly enjoying. What age would we have been? Like, that would have been right like 9 years ago or something. Is that really
I remember like the second Transformers ago? I was at the beach and I went to the midnight release at the beach.
Dude, that's so lame.
No,
you were probably barely allowed in to see it.
Me, my brother, and my father went. It was a great time.
First Transformers was 13 years ago.
Oh, wow.
13?
Yeah. You feel old yet?
So, wait. Are you telling me I was in the first Transformers? I was 9?
2007.
I was 9 or 10. Dude, 10 or 11, maybe.
I'm old. I'm so old.
That's insane.
Are they getting...
we're elderly.
Are they getting Michael Bay for any of these new Transformer films?
I don't think any talk about directors has happened yet, at least not that I've seen. I think the special effects were very good because he was involved, and I doubt at this point that he would want to go back to the Transformer universe, but
why not?
It'd probably be good for them. I don't know.
Michael Bay or bust for me. That's all I got to say about that.
Next bit of news is that The Batman has officially begun production. This movie, as we've talked about before, will feature Robert Pattinson and a handful of villains, including the Penguin, the Riddler, and Catwoman.
Was that a scoff, Jared?
Yeah, just Robert Pattinson, not my...
What's the most recent Robert Pattinson film you've seen? Is it Twilight? Is it Eclipse?
No, I'm just sad that it's
Breaking
not...
Breaking
Dawn? Just sad that it's not...
Batfleck?
Oh. Shut up, please.
That's not who?
Norman Reedus, my Batman.
We did a discussion at the end of last spring semester talking about who should play the Batman, and Jared straight-faced said this, that he thought Norman Reedus should play Batman from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, Darryl. No. Stop that.
Probably one of the worst takes I've heard on this show.
I stand by my opinion.
I don't doubt that one day you may say something even stupider. So I'm on the edge of my seat. every single episode waiting to see Jared say something.
You guys just wait. I
actually think Robert Pattinson's probably going to do really well. I think however good the movie is, that's how good he'll be. I don't think he'll be in a bad movie and be really good. I don't think he'll be in a good movie and be really bad. I think the exact level of the movie, like, he'll be, you know, right there with it. So,
what,
I don't know.
What kind of Bruce Wayne do you think he'll be? Because we've seen a lot of different Bruce Waynes across the Batman films.
Yeah, I think he'll definitely be closer to what Christian Bale did. I actually think... I think Ben Affleck was a much, much better Batman than he was a Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be the opposite for Robert Pattinson, where he's definitely a better Bruce Wayne than he is a Batman. But I don't know.
I mean, we'll see. I actually, to tell you the truth, I like Ben Affleck. I think... Like, they made some, I shouldn't say they, there were comparison, like, video compilations made of comparing Ben Affleck to the animated series and kind of some of the comparisons there. I mean, I think Christian Bale gets hyped up a little bit as Batman.
I think it's probably just because those movies as a whole were so good.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not saying
absolutely.
That he was bad, but I do agree with what you're saying there.
Yeah, like, to see Bruce Wayne like that, like Bruce Wayne in the comics and in Justice League Unlimited and Justice League is, you know, he's charismatic. He is suave. And not to say that Christian Bale wasn't,
mm-hmm.
but he was more introverted as a, at least from The Dark Knight on. And Batman Begins, he's actually kind of, I don't want to say pretentious, but, you know, the classic rich boy that some people may perceive Bruce Wayne to be, but I would have liked to have seen more of the, I don't want to say party boy lifestyle, but just more extroverted Christian Bale or Bruce Wayne out of Christian Bale. That is.
Yeah. So far this Batman, I don't know if this is set in like the DC universe because they recast Batman, they recast Alfred, they recast Detective Gordon. I think that's pretty much the only Batman actors that were in the DC universe at that point, but I'm not sure if that's going to be set in the DC universe or if they're doing their kind of Dark Knight thing where it's its own universe. But I'd like to see Robert Pattinson's Batman crossover with Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, with Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn at some point, because the DC universe they're building, or that they could be building, has a lot of potential, and that's all I'll say on that.
Do we have a new Superman yet?
No, well, right now it's still officially Henry Cavill. I know. I mean, I've heard and read a couple different things saying that he has left. I've seen some things saying that he has left, but he has hope that he can still play Superman. And I've seen some that are saying that he's still Superman, like, entirely. And I'm not entirely sure. They don't have any Justice League movies or, like, any big crossovers planned. So I don't think they need a Superman right now. But the DC universe isn't nearly as put together as it could be.
That's an understatement of the year.
Yeah.
Do we think that Robert Pattinson's going to have to fight any werewolves, though?
Twilight.
What if they're...
I hope they do it like a Taylor Lautner cameo and like they hint at that. I think that would be hilarious.
That'd be sick.
That would be hilarious. It would also be the most cringeworthy thing they could do.
I mean, that's what we're here for, baby. 2020 cringeworthy
if
only.
Robert Pattinson's gonna be Batman, then.
Yeah, there was a lot. Robert Pattinson, but after Twilight, did a lot of like indie films.
Mm-hmm.
I watched one called Damsel, that was very, very enjoyable. So, if you want to do your homework at home and see kind of a under the radar film starring the new Batman, Damsel is the one for you. Next bit of news, moving on here from Batman, because that's another thing we could do an entire episode on.
Absolutely.
Superheroes again, though. Falcon and the Winter Soldier series will start streaming on Disney Plus in August of 2020. I don't know why, but for some reason I thought this was a series that was going to be on Disney Plus as they released Disney Plus. I don't know why. I just feel like they probably could have moved on this sooner. But I believe they're done with production and everything. They're just working on other things now.
Yeah, they're focusing on Star Wars: The Clone Wars now.
Yeah,
rightfully so. But you know, yeah, I think the the success of The Mandalorian. Now, granted, it's a different universe, but I think Disney Plus is really going to start pumping out. I mean, I shouldn't say start, because we already know they have so many plans for all these live action shows, and it's definitely gonna benefit Disney in a variety of ways, particularly, you know, financially speaking.
Yeah. While we're on the topic of Star Wars, did we discuss the Obi-Wan, drama last episode? We might have mentioned.
We mentioned it. I don't think we touched on it.
One thing, but we like the whole, I guess, scenario kind of now is at a standstill. Like, we know what's happened, but we don't know, like, anything officially from Disney. So I have this timeline here that I can read out. January 15th, multiple fake rumors were saying that Ewan McGregor had exited the series. And I saw that all over Twitter, on Instagram as well. Then 2 days later, on the 17th, someone reported that the series has not been canceled, which I think was like the first official one when the rumors were saying that, you know, it had been canceled. I wasn't really on board because nothing official, nothing like from any of the actors.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 23rd, Collider reported that the series has been put on hold indefinitely for script reworks, and the crew had been sent home. This is another one where I did not believe it. I thought, if it's not from Disney, if it's not from any of the actors or any of the directors or anything like that, then you can't really say. And then I think the next day after that, or maybe the same day, Ewan McGregor in an interview says that the release date has not been changed, but the shoot has just been pushed back and that the scripts are really good. I had also heard, I don't know when this happened on the timeline, that I think the series had gone from 6 episodes to 4 episodes. So I don't really know. Again, nothing official from Disney on what's going on with Obi-Wan yet. But I hope Ewan McGregor, the star of it, is right in saying that the actual release date hasn't been pushed back at all.
Yeah, I tend to take that at full face value. I mean, Twitter these days is, although, I mean, news travels fast via Twitter, but yeah, you always got to check your source. I mean, if it's coming straight from the man, the myth, the legend, Ewan McGregor, mm-hmm. I believe it's got to be fact.
Yeah. Big Deal was not here when we talked about Star Wars last time. Real quick, do you have any light topics you'd like to talk about with either the movie, The Mandalorian, or The Clone Wars coming up?
I mentioned this to Jared the other day, just kind of as a whole. I think that Disney is going to be in a really good spot in the future with Star Wars. I think they've had this almost prophecy that they had to live up to, like, oh, we have the Skywalker family, like, we have Luke Skywalker, we have Han Solo, we have Princess Leia, you know, we have to throw these characters at the fans, we got to make, not to say that everything was a money grab that they did, but, you know, we have to complete their arc and everything, and I think there was a lot of pressure on them to do that. Now, post-sequel projects, they can go in any direction. Yeah. And The Mandalorian, Obi-Wan, Boba Fett, Star Wars The Clone Wars, there's a lot of pressure taken off now, and I think that freedom is really going to open up a lot of things. I'm excited for it. I think originally I'd been on the Disney ruined Star Wars boat for a little bit, because I think at first they tried to do what they had done with the Marvel films and kind of gone for these huge finishes in movies and series and tried to put as much content as out there, or try to put as much content as possible out there, when, although it's both fantasy and science fiction, they're not the same sort of market, not the same sort of fans. And as being Star Wars fans here, I think we
complain a lot more.
Yeah, we can attest to, you know, Star Wars fans, they'll be the first to hate on their own movies, but if you hate on Star Wars, you know, and you're not a fan, you get killed.
I've never met people who hate Star Wars more than Star Wars fans.
Exactly. Yeah.
Another rumor about Star Wars, I don't think I've seen this from anyone official yet, but I've seen a lot of places, so I think it might be a little bit more credible, is that they are making a sequel to Star Wars Rebels. It obviously wouldn't be called Star Wars Rebels. It'd be about Ahsoka and Sabine Wren going out to find one of the main characters that disappeared at the end of the season. So yeah, the future is very bright for Star Wars. I think they're going to start to lean more towards doing these Disney Plus series instead of movies, because there's a lot more that could go wrong when it's a movie. You could, you know, invest a lot into it and just end up losing a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do enjoy, like, the whole idea of anthology films. I think Rogue One was very, very good. It's fantastic. It's personally my favorite Star Wars movie, but Han Solo was not that good. So I think that kind of deterred them from wanting to keep making anthology films. So I guess we'll see what happens with that. And at some point, we're just going to be getting a Star Wars TV show, like, once every month, which
would be fine, fine by me, yeah, man.
You got my attention with that one.
Absolutely.
I think at some point we should probably just do, maybe after Clone Wars airs, we should do a Star Wars episode where all we talk about is just Star Wars stuff, maybe break down an episode or two.
I like that. It's a good idea.
You know, we talk about it almost every episode, but I'd like to really...
There's got to be some time when we have that full debate on whether Bill Burr was good in The Mandalorian.
He was.
Thank you, Dale. Yeah,
exactly. He was. All right. If you were wondering, he was.
I'm sharing a mic with Clay. And
no.
Yeah, you guys are muted until you're done talking about Bill Burr.
We'll bring it back, don't worry.
This is another recent news. It's not that important, really. Oscar presenters have been announced. Zazie Beetz, who's playing Catwoman, Timothée Chalamet, Will Ferrell, Gal Gadot, Mindy Kaling, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Anthony Ramos, Mark Ruffalo, Kelly Marie Tran, and Kristen Wiig. I'm excited. This is the first Oscar season where I've seen, like, almost every single movie that's been nominated for things.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Parasite quickly next, but me and Clay saw Parasite. I want to see every single movie that director has directed, because that movie was absolutely insane.
Interesting.
First bit of discussion here. Chinese New Year was what day? Anyone know? Okay, it was recently. So it's now officially the year of the rat. Rats are a very common animal.
Saturday.
It was Saturday?
Yeah.
Is now officially the year of the rat. So, I'm going to read off this list of movie rats, and then we can talk quickly about who is the best, the GOAT movie rat, greatest of all time, movie TV show rat ever. So, first you got Master Splinter. You got the rat from Endgame that saves Ant-Man. Mr. Ratburn from Arthur. Remy from Ratatouille. Ratboy from The Simpsons. Rattata and Eradicate from Pokemon. Rat from Departed. Scabbers. Rizzo and Professor Radigan. Does anyone want to jump in? Because I will say first, I think the rat from Endgame, definitely, it, like, as a rat, it's not that, you know, it's not a good rat. Like, you don't really know the personality of the rat or, like, you know, anything else about the rat other than it's a rat. But without that rat, Endgame doesn't happen, because
it's set in place.
Yeah.
It, without that rat, half the universe doesn't exist.
Basically, it's the one that is in Ant-Man's car and flips on the, like, the, I don't even know what the machine is called, and it basically brings Ant-Man out of the quantum realm, and from there the movie starts to roll forward. I think Remy from Ratatouille is definitely up there. I mean, I think that is that the only movie based on just a rat? It is, right?
Well, we did not include the mouse trap rat in this list.
Can you give me a little rundown on?
There's a house that's inherited, and it's going up for auction, and this rat causes a bunch of havoc, and there's a lot of slapstick comedy.
It's pretty good.
It was good when I was 8, and it was good when I was 15, and it's good now.
It's the gift that keeps on giving, you know?
I think the rat from Endgame probably destroys everyone in terms of, you know, impact.
Yeah, like plot importance. Yeah, for sure.
As far as the character itself, I mean, Master Splinter, you know, he raised and trained four turtles.
If we're doing a rat free-for-all, that's Master Splinter 10 times out of 10.
Ten times out of ten.
Yeah. I mean, if we're doing a cooking contest,
Remy.
And obviously, Mr. Ratburn.
Are you guys...
The gay rat from Arthur.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Are we all aware that the teacher from Arthur is now openly gay?
Yeah. And good for him.
And married as well.
Good for him.
Yeah, that was something that killed me on Twitter, like, just for weeks and weeks. When they made him gay, people were very, very upset. Well, some people were very upset. And people just kept... like including the words gay rat wedding in their tweet.
Oh boy.
And every time I saw it, it was funny because it's like literally the show is a show about like rats and aardvarks and just like bunnies and animals. But like to do a wedding and then make it a gay wedding and then make it a gay rat wedding, it's just, I don't know. It gets me. It gets me going.
Is
and
Arthur
it,
still on?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
That show's been on for years and years.
The writer of Aardvark.
That's the part that confused me, is I was like, is it still on? Or did this happen like 10 years ago?
Yeah, no, he's been openly gay for like probably less than a year now. Less than 6 months.
I had no idea it was still airing.
Yeah.
Mark Brown is from Erie. We went to the same middle school.
Is he the one that wrote Arthur?
Yes, he wrote the Aardvark book.
And there were books before the TV show.
Yeah,
okay.
He grew up on Aardvark Street, which is like right across from the middle school I went to. We went to the same middle school and the same high school.
A lot of great memes from Arthur.
Yeah.
You didn't see me, but I just clenched my fist.
I mean, yeah, the fist meme not only has been used by people, but professional athletes too.
Yeah, people getting it like painted on their cleats and stuff like that.
Very widespread use of it.
Yeah.
I mean, to have Ratatata and Raticate here, I mean, obviously, you know, one is an evolution, so.
Yeah.
You also can't discount Scabbers.
Dude, Scabbers, yeah. I was hoping someone would mention him. He's only on screen for, like, maybe a total of 30 seconds in the entire Harry Potter franchise. But just when Ron is holding him and then he gets bit and he yells Scabbers in his British accent, kills me. And also...
He also brings back the Dark Lord.
He's another rat that plays... It's probably not as important as a rat from Endgame, but he plays a pretty important role because he ends up not actually being a rat. He is...
disqualified.
No, what's the guy's name? What is his name?
He... Oh, my God.
Peter Pettigrew.
Yes.
Yeah, Peter Pettigrew.
Who supposedly died.
Yeah.
And he kept in his form for how many years?
Yeah.
Well, that's quite impressive.
Spoilers.
Two things. Like 12 years, Rufus, the naked mole rat. Are we counting that?
We'll count him.
Hell of a character. Also, this is going to make you feel really old. Anyone remember the film Flushed Away?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, those are mice.
No,
those
they're rats.
Are they rats?
They're rats.
Are they?
Yeah.
Take your word for it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, Roddy and Rita. Come on, man.
Because I was going to say the frog. Stuart Little, but he's a mouse.
He is a mouse. Yep, absolutely. Or, I think it's...
Yeah, Stuart Little can sell it. We're talking about rats right now.
We're talking about rats, man.
About rats.
That's what it's about, bro. You
know, if we had to go for nostalgia's sake... I would have to say Splinter. I mean, just remembering the wisdom that he imparted on us as 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds who loved turtles.
Really, really did a lot to change the perception of rats.
Yeah.
You know, really.
Yeah, his rat representation, the rat representation that we got from Master Splinter was unmatched.
I mean, has changed.
Think about all the other rats who came after him were only able to do that because he broke down those.
I mean, really broke. The barrier for all rats.
Revolutionary, really.
Thank God.
Yeah. True rat revolutionary. That is it for rat talk. If you're listening, one of you three listeners, and you feel like telling one of us what your favorite rat is, by all means, go ahead. We'll give you a shout out. I'll let Clay take it away with Parasite because I know he's seen more movies from this director. I think at some point we will... go through and discuss all of this director's movies or a lot of his movies because there's just like a whole lot that you can do with them. But yeah, Clay, do you want to give a little rundown on Parasite?
So the director in question is Bong Joon-ho, and the other films I've seen by him are Snowpiercer and Okja. And Okja is a Korean film, as was Parasite. So first of all, phenomenal film.
we
both walked out of there kind of just still just like shaken, like really impressive screenplay, like really well written. In terms of being in Korean, I was not bothered. Do you have any thoughts?
No, that's we saw this movie 3 days ago, and all I'd heard about it was when the director went to accept his Golden Globe. He said something along the lines of, Americans can be introduced to a lot of great films once you get over the fear of 2-inch-tall subtitles. So he was basically like, just go see films
right.
that aren't in English, and you'll see a lot better films than you're seeing.
That stands true. Like, I feel like I've seen a good amount of foreign films.
Yeah.
And I feel like if a foreign film's on my radar, it's not going to be bad. Like, if I know about it, mm-hmm. the chances of it being a bad movie are very little.
Yeah.
So this was, I was not bothered by having to read subtitles. I enjoy subtitles. And there's not a ton going on screen that, like, really splits your attention for it either.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if, like, I can't really think of many movies that I wouldn't be willing to read subtitles for. Like, I guess like an action-heavy movie where there's like stuff constantly going on the screen where you have to be like reading and watching. But like, I don't know, Parasite was not that like action-heavy. Like,
right.
It wasn't hard to read, and overall, I mean, the movie was phenomenal.
So
I don't think I've ever seen a movie with a plot like that before, with, you know, a twist like it had before.
Many twists and turns.
I won't
dive into the plot at all, because I think it's definitely best experienced blind going in. But I think it's definitely one of the best contenders for Best Picture this year. I know 1917's up there. But I honestly would probably give it to Parasite.
Yeah.
Go see it if you haven't.
Yeah, this is, like I said earlier, this is the first award season where I've seen just about every single movie that's been, you know, that's like in these nomination for award season and stuff like that. I've seen 1917, Joker, Parasite, Marriage Story, and I can't remember the other ones, but I agree with Clay. I think it's probably between Parasite and 1917, but I think 1917 is going to win. Because they're probably biased against foreign films, but I definitely, if it were me deciding, it would be Parasite. 1917 is a great movie, but it's not that, I guess, innovative. I mean, it is the way they shot it and everything like that, but I guess you're not on the edge of your seat the way you are in Parasite. In Parasite, the plot and, I guess, like the overall theme of the movie, I mean, I've just never seen anything like it before. Like, that's really all I can say is, the whole time, I was just thinking, this is one of the most unique films I've ever seen. Because for the most part, when you see a movie, like, you know what the plot's going to be. You know how things are going to play out. You know how, you know, the antagonist is going to meet with the protagonist. And, like, they're going to have some sort of climactic fight or argument or whatever at the end. Parasite was just something completely new. And I went in blind. I mean, I think I'd seen, like, a trailer a while back, but even I think the way they made their trailers, when we talked about trailers last time, the way they made their trailers, you don't know at all. Like, you just see the characters on the screen, you don't see what they're doing, you don't see what they're saying. So even if you've seen all the trailers going into the film, I think you still don't even really know what you're in for. But I mean, if I could recommend listeners that you see one movie that we've talked about or that is nominated for things during this award season, it is Parasite. This movie was absolutely phenomenal. I really can't wait to do an episode, hopefully in the next month or two, where we discuss all this director's films, because I want to watch all of them.
From what I know, they're all pretty good.
Yeah.
Just on Mother, Barking Dogs Don't Bite, a couple others I still have to see, but I would love to do that discussion.
Yeah. Big Dill, has anyone else here seen Uncut Gems, or should we wait again to jump into Uncut Gems?
I mean, it's whatever you guys want to do.
Well, we are a little close for time, so I'd like to just, while I feel like this is something that will go faster, we can talk about El Camino and the very small piece of news that I saw recently in the Breaking Bad realm. So I know Julian was big on El Camino. So if you want to just give a quick rundown on what your thoughts on the film was. This released to Netflix a while back, but we weren't making shows then because we were lazy. So we have not talked about it until now. So I'll let Julian go first.
Yeah, I was hyped to talk about this last week, and then we had to push it to this week, so that's okay. I wasn't mad at all. So The Guardian wrote a review, and they said, El Camino shows Pinkman become an adult, someone dressed not in bright yellow hoodies but cable knit jumpers. He achieves this metamorphosis gradually through unlocking the various challenges that are laid in his path, but some are emotional, even moral. That's a pretty good summary without like giving away any of the plot.
It's a
good description. Like it was on some of the criticism. The only two criticisms, first of all, don't listen to this part if you haven't seen El Camino yet. If you haven't seen Breaking Bad yet, then crawl out from under your rock and go watch the whole series. But don't watch El Camino without watching Breaking Bad either. You definitely need to have seen it. But that's one of the potential criticisms, is it's unnecessary, which is kind of true. Like, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. But I
don't
think
Breaking Bad was not broke.
I don't think
at all,
they ruined the, no, I guess.
No, they didn't. And it was a very, I thought it was a satisfying addition, and they didn't ruin it. I agree
for
with
sure.
you. They didn't ruin it.
So I'm sorry. You said Breaking Bad was not broke. Isn't breaking in the name of the show?
All right.
Isn't that the point?
Sheets is a great restaurant. That was better than yours, Jared.
It was.
So some of the cameos are pretty cool too.
Yeah, like a lot of how they reached back to Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
they didn't do it in a way that seemed like unnecessary or like overdone.
Yes.
Right.
Everything was very, I guess, like it felt like it should be there.
Naturally.
And the one thing that I wanted to mention, it's not related to El Camino, but it's related to Breaking Bad, is that the character who plays Walter White Jr., who is the main character's son in the show, RJ Mitty, has apparently pitched to Vince Gilligan a follow-up to Breaking Bad where Walter White Jr. takes over his father's like drug empire.
What?
And Vince Gilligan apparently liked it. RJ Mitty, I thought he was just an actor.
This sounds horrible. I'm sorry. I saw that news and I hope this doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel with most things too. Like Breaking Bad is one of the only shows I've ever seen where it's been so good and they cut it off before it can start to get stale. That's when I watched that last episode, I was like, why is this the end of this show? Like, they could have done so much more, like at least one more season. But Vince Gilligan said that that's why they did it. They cut the show off at that season so it wouldn't start to get stale, so it wouldn't start to get old, so things wouldn't start to repeat.
And we've got Better Call Saul. Like, Vince
exactly.
is a phenomenal director.
Yeah.
And obviously now we have El Camino. Like, our taste has been quenched a bit.
Please don't get the Breakfast Kid to make meth. That just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
He's not a scientist. He hated his dad for what he did. It just doesn't need to be done.
All right, so that has been The Real, episode 2 of this semester.
Crazy.
We will see you same time next week. Thank you for listening, and thank you for getting real with us. You love me, love me, love me, love me.